Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
We're going to go now over to that exact topic, the Duckers. Two sons in the same family. Well, one now is facing criminal charges. The other one's locked away. One's already serving federal time. The other just posted $600,000 bond in Florida. Actually, you should correct that. Jim Bob posted that bond in Florida. You know, teaching his sons accountability, like a good Christian father does. And he entered a not guilty plea after allegedly already admitting to this on the phone call with the father of the victim. But not guilty, and Jim Bob comes down with the check. You know, like Jesus would do. Barred from unsupervised contact with anyone under 18. You know, like Jesus would do. The investigation that started with Joseph Duggar's arrest didn't stop at Joseph. It went into the home. It found conditions that produced their own separate charges. And the Taneytown Police Department has said this investigation remains active and ongoing. The question isn't just what Joseph Duggar allegedly did. It's who knew. Who stayed silent, and whether investigators are now looking at the family system itself, which, pro tip, investigators, you need to do that. Investigators went into the Duggar home because of the Florida allegations against Joseph and allegedly came out with evidence of locks on the outside of the children's bedroom doors. Doesn't sound horrific, but it does. It's a fire code violation at the very least. But when you put it into the bigger picture perspective of everything we know now about the Duggar family and the facade that was pitched to the public for more than a decade and still continues to be by those who still follow their teachings, which led to a separate endangerment and false imprisonment charges against both Joseph and Kendra. Let's talk about that. It triggered the local charges in Arkansas and the investigation. I know they're all saying, oh, this is just too much. It's BS. When a home search tied to one of the cases produces evidence of something completely different, I'm going to ask you guys, how does that change the scope of what investigators are now authorized to pursue? And how quickly can a single case become multiple cases? Can this, because of that, can they now dig into more of the ecosystem of those around the Duggars to see, what else might we find here?
Absolutely. You are not confined just because you find out information on one type of violation. If another violation comes to light, you're able to run down the road. It just matters, are they criminal violations? Mm-hmm. And as far as that bond out, the judge made it too low. It's sickening that this person is out. You know, what can I say? All these molesters need to be behind.
What's sickening to me specifically about it is you still have folks, and look, I am not knocking anybody's religion or anything like that. I'm knocking them, the IBLP, 1,000%.
Because I'm not a religion, it's a cult.
It's a cult, yes. But that's the sad part of this. There's so many people who are in an organized religion that is not a cult that somehow conflate themselves as being, well, we're kind of like that. We both believe in this deity, so we must be kind of alike. No, you're not. You're not. You're very different, and let's stop pretending you're the same thing before you become the same damn thing. And I'm wondering sometimes if that's what's going through the mind of some of these judges or this and that, where they don't fully see the scope of what the hell these people actually are because the word Jesus gets involved. And it's like, well, that's a word that's been bastardized and used 1,000 times to Tuesday to coerce and control people. Not that Jesus is bad in itself, but when you use it as a weapon, as a weapon of control, yeah, it kind of goes against the whole things he talked about. That is what's very concerning to me with this case and all of the cases with the Duggars, is that too many people get too wrapped up in that, and they don't dig as deep as they should, because at the end of the day, well, they're God-fearing people. No, I beg to differ. Jen?
Yeah, you know, it's a facade, really.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes just used as a avenue and a conduit to gain control of people again, so that they do what they want. It's so sad. I mean, we've seen it over and over again. Waco, those are two of the big ones. Obviously, different smaller groups that are more like the Duggar situation that start out with families and then they just get their web and tentacles out. I agree. You know, somehow, whenever law enforcement's involved in bad doing or when religion is involved in bad doing, it's just way worse.
Yeah, and I'm curious too what the criteria that he had for setting the bond price, because like you said, Jen, no price is really too high for someone with this kind of accused background. But I'm really curious because, you know, we talked about the other day, the weaponized spirituality that they use and weaponized religion. And so if the judge or whoever's doing, you know, the bond stuff here is kind of allowing themselves their confirmation bias about their belief system of Christianity or their belief system of Jesus or whatever the belief system is, they superimpose it on them saying, oh, I can keep the bond here because they're all Christians. I can trust them. You know, I can trust they'll take care of their own. You know, so I'm really wondering if their own confirmation bias came in there and that they're consciously, the Duggars are consciously weaponizing or subconsciously weaponizing the whole trust that's ingratiated to them, that's given to them because of their religious beliefs, because it obviously bamboozled the judge, I think, on the bond.
You know, it's such an interesting point, but when you look at some of these judges and their decisions, I mean, you know, for me on the X platform, it's one of my strongest picadillos. Just posted about a new law that was implemented just a couple of days ago, signed off on in Florida, because an individual accused of sexual assault of a minor was out, and it was actually pre-sentence, post-conviction.
Oh, my God.
Now, and guess what they did? Tortured, assaulted, mutilated their 5-year-old stepdaughter. Need to read about this case. It's horrible. And, you know, why would the judge let somebody out? That's even after adjudication. It's those crimes from now on.
That is the worst time. They're awaiting sentence. What do you think they're going to do with their last hours of freedom? Oh my God.
I'm not accusing the judge of anything, but it really does make you wonder what the hell's going behind the closed doors of people who make those sort of decisions.
Especially with our confirmation bias, if we keep seeing corrupt people doing corrupt things.
Well, what other reasoning would you have? I mean, there's no sense. Other than you're not paying attention. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Case after case after case comes through the door and you just start phoning it in and you're not really paying attention to the details of the case. Like, oh, here's what we're going to do next case. That's not acceptable. But like, I guess that's the only morally acceptable reasoning I could think of as to why they would screw up so badly with a ruling like that, because the other is very dark. And again, I don't know, but it would certainly make me wonder what the hell's going on here that you are being this kid glovey with a person who likes kids.
Especially when it's not like Joseph is an outlier anymore either. You got 2 out of 19. That's called a pattern.
Yeah. I'd be very concerned if the pattern continues and what the digital footprint show. It locally in Arkansas, the Taneytown Police Department has said the investigation, and I want to be clear so people understand this, there are two different things going on here. You have the charges in Florida for the little girl, and then over here in Arkansas, you have the charges where it was triggered to go and look into the home to see, is there any abuse going on in the home? What they found was allegedly the door locks being reversed. The Arkansas charges against his wife and him are not child predator type related. They are about the home and the locks and all of that. But they
I'm sure that's not related.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, that connects those dots.
And I didn't mean to jump on you.
Let's see where that goes. And because I guess that's my kind of question. What they're saying about that case, if they already went in, they did their checks, they did the charges for the door locks, and you know both of them have been charged, and there's a court date coming up. But they are continuing to say that investigation remains active and ongoing. If it were just the door locks, okay, we did this, we're done. Would that investigation still be active or ongoing, or would it be wrapped up and done because, okay, here's what we found, we got nothing else?
Well, I'll tell you my first investigative step.
Yeah.
I've gotten a warrant based on the locks and the Florida situation, and I would have gotten a crime scene group in there and taken DNA and see if there's seminal fluid or semen DNA on the kids' beds, bedding, anything in there. That would be my next step.
And also, and so I'm going to give another reverse angle on this too, Jen. I would then do other areas of the house as well, because if they're locking the kids in, it might be because they don't want them coming out to be observing something else as well. So I think everything's on the playing field on that one, because it's really weird behavior. So they're either keeping them in the rooms for the sake of having them locked in a room, but also keeping them in rooms because they don't want them being able to pop out while something else is going on in another room. So when you have that kind of control, there's a lot of things that control can be used for. So especially, so think about this. So he's accused of touching a young lady, a girl. What was
9-year-old at the time.
9 years old in another state.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of that happening closer to home is pretty high. And so if you want to rule out, so he's comfortable doing this with someone not part of family. That means if you're going to have someone not part of family in that house, you're going to want to keep people away from being able to observe it. I don't know, just pure kind of jumping conjecture on that. But it's a control issue to me. So there's a lot there.
And I don't have any confirmation on this, but there is some inklings on the internets. The world wide webs, if you will, that maybe a little closer to home than we are aware of, in terms of the individual, may not just be a family friend, maybe a little, the dynamic might be a little more than we're aware of. But again, I don't know for sure, can't confirm anything, but that would be an interesting turning point in all of this. Jen, have you heard the phone calls between the two, between... No, nobody's heard him yet. Okay, we got to bring those up one of these. Maybe Monday we'll do it. But it's a very, very interesting situation. It seems like they're in, especially Kendra, his wife. She seems genuinely confused. She's saying we can't trust anyone. She still seems very much on his side, but very much confused as hell. I mean, she's been brought up in this. She only knows this world. She was married off to him, you know, within the IBLP community. So she's, you know, full born and bred cult member. And I do have some grace for her, because that's the only world that she knows. But as we've seen in other situations like FLDS and things, when Warren Jeffs gets busted or Bateman gets busted, some people finally go, okay, I'm seeing the light now. I have no idea. We had no idea this was horrible and bad. But that is the thing, that it's that impenetrable wall that so many of these religions put up and then law enforcement can't seem to get into. I'm doing a piece on Bateman right now. There's a great Netflix doc coming out next week about it, or this week about it, where the police did investigate Bateman, the FLDS offshoot after Jeffs got arrested. They did go and talk, and every time it was like, well, looks like things are okay here, and then they went off and did their own thing. It took a documentarian to really break that third wall or fourth wall. In this case here, I would say to investigators out there, don't walk away. This needs to be looked into deeply and closely. And your comment there about looking for the fluids, that's an interesting one. That makes a lot of sense. Is that something that they would need? I mean, do they have enough right now to go in and do that? Should some investigator get a wild hair or the light bulb goes above their heads, or a certain podcaster sends them a video clip of Jennifer Coffendaffer making this suggestion to them and saying, hey, here's a thought. Could that maybe make a reason for another warrant and a return visit to the Duggar house?
All you need is probable cause.
Huh.
Low bar. And in a case like this, I think they could get it. Possibly, I don't know what else they have, but I'm like, in a case like this, yeah, digital trail. Uh-uh. I want the physical trail. Secondarily, on your first comments regarding her.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tony, it is Fun Friday. Blah, blah, blah. It's like Valo.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. Just because they're women doesn't mean they're stupid and doesn't mean they're truly controlled. Did she not see the locks? Hello? Why? Are they running a kennel?
Kind of.
It's absolutely so degrading and so wrong. And I hold her completely accountable for anything that took place in that house.
Yeah, being indoctrinated into a cult is not part of your defense.
It's not. I don't know what is wrong with me today. I'm like being kind and
kind
like,
Friday.
Who are you?
I don't know.
I know. And I'm saying all these pure, and like, because of Jen's conversation about what the Bureau would do, I'm like, wow, that's actually a really good memory of me, you know, for the Bureau. Like, I'm saying positive Bureau experiences. Tony's being kind. What the hell? Raining cats and dogs.
I don't know what's going on. I should just walk away right now. But like with the FLDS, specifically in the Bateman case, because I just did a piece on it this morning, they went lighter on some of the women that were Bateman's followers because they had been Warren's followers. They'd been born into this. And really, Kendra was born into this, too. Yes, she's a grown-ass adult. She has her own autonomy. So does Joseph. So do all of these people. But in the FLDS-type situation in Utah, they did go light. They did sentence some of the women that were putting their children out there for Bateman to go at. But they went lighter because they did try to understand these people know nothing more than their ecosystem. Are they running a kennel? I would say kind of. I mean, look, you're locking the people from the outside in their rooms. Essentially, this is kind of the world that she grew up in, too. And this is the atmosphere in which they raise their humans to be complicit, to be non-educated, to not really be able to see or understand anything on the outside world in terms of what is ethically sound, safe, and well. They are told anything on the outside. Anybody questioning the bizarre shit that they do on the inside, it's witchcraft, they're evil, it's the enemy coming in to get you. And so they believe this shit. There is that element to it. And that's where I wonder if there's going to be any grace for her. Granted, the charges she faces are very minimal. They're misdemeanors. She's not going to see jail time. Unless, of course, it gets deeper. Unless, of course, it gets to the point where what if, and this is pure conjecture. This is not fact. This is not anything. Unless, of course, they do get into that house and they do start finding more stuff. And they do start saying, oh, you just looked the other way, didn't you? While Dad had to go do whatever Bible study or whatever the hell he's calling it with the kids. That seems to be, I guess, a little different if she had knowledge. But I mean, that's, I don't know what my question is here, but that's, I want you to riff off of that.
I can frame it. Can I take that and frame it into a question
for
Jen?
Yeah.
So based on all that, it looks like, from again, outside appearances from what she's been presenting, is that Kendra is, you're not saying complacent, but she doesn't seem, the shock and awe and grow and just reaction.
Brainwashed.
Of what her husband didn't seem to be impacting. In other words, she wasn't projecting shame from what we've been seeing onto Joseph's actions. And so if he doesn't feel that she is judging him in any way, his being more open with the things he's doing is going to be higher. Would you, I mean, like from the cases you've seen, Jen, if someone's reaction was not being, you know, just totally grossed out by what your husband did, are they more or less likely to actually be complicit in that because of that comfort level she seems to have with him and what he's done?
Absolutely. We can take a microcosm of a case that everybody knows about, and that's, oh gosh.
Gallo?
Nope. Madeline.
Maddie Soto?
Yep. Take a microcosm
Stephen Stern.
Of that case.
Yep.
And that is the microcosm of a woman that well knows what's happening.
Yeah, I'm
example.
And that it's a, just a microcosm how women know they let them sleep with their kid. It's so gross. And, you know, they just blind themselves because of what they don't want to lose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Evil incarnate right there. That's a great example of being, of rationalized in a way that the most evil in people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. And speaking of the shame, that's another interesting thing that I noticed on that phone call or the multiple phone calls between Kendra and Joseph in the last handful of days. There's no shame. Now, I'm not expecting them to be on a phone call like, oh, my God, they got me. I mean, I don't that's not where these people like this react. But they're talking about this case as if they were, you know, ordering McDonald's, like, well, you want a quarter pounder for lunch? I mean, it was just...
She wasn't shocked, was she?
No, she wasn't. She was feeling, like, sad that he was behind bars, that he's getting accused of these things, and he's reading the Bible, and he's, oh, I'm so glad you're doing that. And she's talking in the mimicked Michelle voice. It's so sad. I mean, it's just so creepy because neither of them seem to feel need to, neither of them are expressing, you're not feeling any shame out of either of them on these phone calls. I don't know why one I would expect that. I don't know, because it's a human emotion that if somebody gets caught doing this shit, they should feel. But I guess if you're doing it to begin with, you're kind of absent to that from the get-go, aren't you?
You know, I always make this analogy. I know I've done it here too.
Yeah.
Watch Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
I know it's Tarantino and his, but it's so true that in the criminal world, it all starts to become so normal. It's mm-hmm. like wash dishes. Oops, accidentally shot the guy behind me. You clean up the brains. No, you clean it up or whatever it might be. This behavior is normal. It's like you and I, like you said, going to McDonald's.
Yeah.
The normalcy becomes our day and our moment and how we feel. And that is why you see when you work these hideous cases over and over, it looks like no empathy because that's just their life. They think it's normal.
So let's go to the arcs, you know, the life arcs, behavior arcs we keep talking about. So to all these points, everything that during this conversation, there's not an emotional response spiking out of their normal.
Yeah.
Which means all the topics that they're talking about are falling within a pattern of what they're normally talking about, normally exposed to, have seen before. Because when we see something new, there's a new stimulus comes in, we have a reaction. Our tempo is reacting, our body language is reacting, our voice, inflection, all these things is reacting to new information coming in. We've done, I mean, how many of us have done the analysis? And Jen's one of the leading on this on Porchman in Nancy Guthrie's house. He has reps on that porch because he was fluid on that porch. There was nothing, even the cam, the stupid stuff he's doing, he had reps in doing this on that porch. This conversation, there's reps, maybe not in specific conversation, but the topic doesn't seem to be shocking or appalling to anyone involved. They've seen it before somehow.
Yeah, I mean that, and I'm wondering about that a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm talking over you, Jen. Go ahead.
No, I just said great point.
Okay. What comes to my mind here, and the only way to explain it, and again, I have no evidence of this. I'm not accusing anybody of this. But the only way that anyone is speaking about this in such a normalized way. And then I don't understand how it would be normalized unless it's accepted as, well, that's just how life is. This is what people do to you when you're young. Is if these people had all these adults who are victimizing children have also been victimized themselves and have somehow done the mental gymnastics to not find it to be unacceptable of what happened to them, that then somehow they normalize it and then they you know, repeat the pattern and perpetrate it on others. That's what comes to mind. And when you have an ecosystem like this, where this just kind of keeps happening over and over, you end up with people that, no big deal. I grew up just fine. And like, they don't realize how warped they are, because that was normal to them. So it makes me really wonder, you know, is this the cycle that's continuing, and what happened to these people that make them act as if it is like ordering McDonald's?
Yeah, it is, Tony. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's not only with sexual abuse, but you'll see it in physical abuse.
Yeah.
It's persistent and persists throughout their children. And it's, some people break the pattern. I'm not saying they don't. I was not too long ago in Utah, and I'll be careful with this, doing some interviews with a writer on a case. And it was specifically about the people in this town and how incest was pervasive. Mm-hmm. And have a town where it's a very small town in Utah where people, many of them have club feet. Cleft palates? No, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
In interviewing them, you walk in and you're like, yep, I'm married to my first cousin. I'm not even kidding you. Well, they would be proud when they could say, I'm actually married to my third cousin. We didn't interview anybody that wasn't married to a cousin, because that is what this, you know, area and society grew up.
Yeah.
It's fine. So it's just to your point that it persists.
Yeah, it's insidious, it's pervasive, and it's so damaging, and it can basically create monsters from the ground up. People who came into this world and didn't ask for any of it, but that's what they end up being made into. It's not to excuse any of it, but when you create a culture of cultivating monsters with this sort of behavior, this is what you get. I mean, even if you wrap it up in a bow and put it on television on TLC and make it to this, you know, colloquial, these gosh darn cute folks, aren't they naive? Yeah, little do you know back at home.
It's a nutter factory.
I like that. Nutter factory.
Wackadoodles.
1,000%.
Nutter factory creating wackadoodles.
We'll get t-shirts soon with all that. And don't miss McDonald's new 19 Kids and Counting Happy Meal. Collect all 19 figures today.
Cost you $150.
I'm going to make that on AI. I'm going to make a commercial. That'll be fun. All right, let's go over to another. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.